Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
There's a common misconception that therapists have their shit together and all our relationships are perfect.
Which is total bullshit.
I'm Vanessa Bennett, licensed therapist.
I'm John Kim, licensed therapist.
And this is our story.
So this is an experimental episode. I guess all our episodes are experimental. We are in the car. We decided to do a podcast in the car coming home from a quick trip snowboarding. And Vanessa's right next to me. Can you say something?
To prove to people that I'm here.
That's not loud enough.
To prove to people that I'm here?
Yeah, you gotta speak louder.
John thinks that this is 1985 and we need to yell into phones and recorders for it to pick us up.
I wonder if I get it from my mom. Because my mom doesn't understand the internet or technology. She thinks there's string connected from your phone to the phone that she has in her ear. So she is yelling always.
He's always telling me I have to talk louder even when we're recording on the microphones. And I never talk louder and it still picks me up just fine.
I want to start with this. I was taking a shower the other day and there were three patches of... There were three patches of hair on the wall. They look like...
I cannot wait to hear how many other women do this.
There are three patches of hair on the shower wall. And at first I was a little bit alarmed. They look like voodoo dolls made of hair, right? That's how much hair we're talking about. And the revelation I had was... So she what she does is she washes her hair. And then she doesn't want the hair to go down in the drain. I'm assuming that's your hair from your head. Your head, right? Okay, hopefully. And... So she takes the hair from the drain and she sticks it to the wall.
And so then when I get out, I take a tissue and I take it out. But I had the baby with me in the shower the other day and so I didn't have enough hands and then I forgot.
Yeah. And now here's my revelation. If I had anger toward Vanessa, if I did not like her, seeing something like that would make me furious. Do you know what I'm talking about?
So like, why would it make you furious?
Well, because it's like, it's you have your, you either see, depending on how you feel about someone, little things like that can annoy you, make you angry, or you just dismiss as adorable, right? So like, you have your story about the coffee beans.
Yeah, but the coffee bean story is something that happened every single day. The hair thing in the however long, 3 years or whatever that we've been together, has happened to you twice. That's a little different.
I saw it. And my initial response was, oh, gross. And then I was leaning toward, you know, she forgot to take this out, blah, blah, blah. And then I paused and I said, oh, it's who she is. And then I thought about you and then I thought, oh, that's actually adorable. Do you know what I'm saying? So like, it could change. I mean, it's like the way I put my dishes away. That could annoy you and you could get really frustrated and angry. Or if you come to a place of acceptance, and heck, because you have a lot of self-awareness like me,
then... I come to a place of acceptance, but I don't think it's adorable how you put your dishes in the dishwasher. I don't know that I've ever gotten to that place.
Well, because that means you struggle with control and acceptance more so than I do.
Oh, okay.
So this episode is going to be about love lessons. I thought we would pick three love lessons that we have learned from our stories, from each other. Me at 47 and Vanessa at 46, correct?
You can't see the face that I'm giving him right now.
So what would be your first love lesson? If you were to pick one, what comes to mind first? A lesson that you've learned about love.
In general or about you?
No, in general, life. Love lesson, cumulative in your life. So it doesn't have to be about us. It could be about us, but it doesn't have to be. It could be something you learned, from your first relationship. I don't know.
This is a love lesson, but also it translates into other relationships as well. Not everyone is going to do everything like you do. That's okay. It doesn't make how they do things or what they do wrong. It makes them different people. And my frustration or annoyance with that is more based on my need for control and the anxiety that I have when things are not in control or not, specifically the way that I like them to be. It has nothing actually to do with that person or like ineptitude. That's just a story I tell myself to make myself feel better about my inability to give up control.
And I wonder if the universe presented me in front of her, because if that's something she struggles with, I'm definitely going to trigger her, because everything I do is unorthodox or unorganized. I enjoy taking the long way home.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's definitely something that I've had to work through more with you probably than anybody I've ever dated.
That's hurtful.
It's not meant to be hurtful. It's just the truth. I mean, you even just said about yourself, like, you know that you take the long way home.
But what are we talking about exactly besides the dishes? And even the dishes, I stack them nicely now. So, I mean.
I think out of everybody I've dated, usually the people that I've had long relationships with in the past or serious relationships in the past have been a little bit more on the spectrum of like control. Like they've got their own shit with control and they're like hyper organized, and of course they're not going to do everything I like or the way I like it because we're different people, but they have their own version of that and you really don't at all. So like you are very just kind of like fly by the seat of your pants. Like you've got your kind of own process for everything, which I think to the outsider feels almost like no process. I'm not saying that in a negative way, I'm just saying it's just how you live your life. One would actually say that it's a very kind of like free-spirited, free-spirited is kind of the word that's coming up, way of approaching life, which can in a lot of ways be much better than somebody who's hyper-controlling. But I think for somebody who's hyper-controlling, it can be a struggle.
Yeah. So that's one love lesson. What's the lesson there?
It's my shit. But the lesson is it's not about the other person. It's not, like I said, it has nothing to do with ineptitude, right? It has to do with me and my anxiety. So when I get triggered because you don't do something the way that I like it to be done, well, two things. One, I have to really assess, is this worth having a conversation about, or is this my anxiety around control? And if it's something that I feel is worthy of having a conversation, then I have to really sit down and have that conversation with you and not let it come out in like passive aggressiveness or, flippant comments or whatever.
We have four hand towels in the guest bathroom.
We have two.
We have two hand towels, but there's two
full-size towels that are decorative.
Yeah,
exactly where you're going before you.
We have towels that are quote unquote decorative, so you actually don't use them to wipe your hands.
Every woman knows what I'm talking about.
Well, and then we have two towels that you do use.
Yep.
So that's a good example of, now if I was to use that bathroom, I would wipe my hands on the decorative towels. I don't understand the point of decorative towels. To me, that seems kind of, I mean, I understand of having nice towels so they're not dirty and stuff, but
I don't mean to genderize this, but I don't know any man, I think, that has ever understood the point of decorative hand towels.
Well, I mean, using that as an example, yeah. If I go to the bathroom and wipe my hand on the decorative towel, that would annoy her, right? So then, the question is like, where's the middle, I guess? Because if I use the decorative towel, that's going to annoy you because that's decorative. But if I don't, then it's going to annoy me because it's like we have a bathroom with towels that are just for looks. Or certain towels you can use, certain towels you can't use, which I've never experienced in my life.
Well, here's the thing. It does annoy me, but it doesn't annoy me because you do it all the time. Every time I go into the bathroom, those towels are all disheveled and messed up. it used
that's not true. For all the time,
90% of the time I go into the bathroom, the bigger towels, the decorative towels, are disheveled.
I rarely use those because I know they're decorative. What are you talking about?
So the old me would have actually found like a lot of annoyance in that. The kind of me now knows that that's my shit.
Okay, but let me just say something real quick. The towels on top that are usable is what I use, and the decorative towels I don't touch. So I don't know what you're talking about.
I think they get messed up in your usage of the decorative towels.
Okay, so now we're talking about how we use a towel. So she has a problem with how I wipe my hands. Not only does she have a problem with the towels that I use, but in the which the
you're
manner.
Yelling again. You're yelling again into the microphone. It can hear you.
Yeah, but that's my choice. Now she has a problem with how my volume control.
You were just talking about you.
You know, as a Korean, I yell. That's okay.
No, but you can move the microphone away from your mouth, and then you can still yell.
So, the volume of my voice, the volume of my voice, the towels that I wipe my hands on, and then in the way that I wipe my hands. That's a lot. That's a lot. That's gonna.
I think you're connecting dots and making a story in your head about what's happening, but. Okay.
No, that's a slice of life. That's an example. Okay, so that's your one love lesson. What's number two?
Number two, love lessons. Oh, God. I don't know how to word this into a love lesson other than just the importance, the massive importance of speaking up and communicating any small annoyance or resentment. Annoyance is the wrong word because that kind of goes back to what you were saying before where I think you have to be choiceful, is that a word? And are you just nagging or not? More like an actual resentment. So I say this a lot in my codependency classes I teach. It's like people ask me if I'm not good at speaking up, right? Like if I'm somebody who tends to never speak up and just shove everything under the rug, how do I know the difference between nagging and actually communicating something that bothers me? And usually what I say is, if there is any resentment at all, even if it's like the tiniest, tiniest amount, if there's any resentment at all attached to what it is that's bothering you, then you need to communicate it, even if it feels like it's nagging. And you can say that to that person. You can say to this person like, look, I don't know, this might seem really silly to you, and I'm struggling with whether or not it even is valid, you know, to say, but there's something in this specific thing that's bugging me. And so because it's bugging me, I think it's important for me to bring it up. So anyway, all that to say, love lesson number two would be, holy shit, the importance of actually speaking up and communicating when things bother you before they explode.
When's the first time you started doing that in relationships?
With you.
So I'm your stepping stone in that area.
Yeah. I mean, I think in other relationships, when I've communicated in the past, it's been when I have no other options. So either it's a blow up, right? So like I don't say anything until I explode, or I don't say anything until it's almost too late to fix, right? So by the time I let the person know that something's bothering me, no matter what happens, that's it. Like they can't fix it. We can't fix that problem together, which is unfair. And I know that now.
Love lesson three, Vanessa Bennett.
Oh, you almost said my old last name.
There was a stutter there because she just recently changed her name. Her name used to be Vanessa Smith. Mm-hmm. Vanessa Bennett Smith.
Smith Bennett.
Vanessa Smith Bennett. And she took the Smith out. Mm-hmm. Why?
I don't know. It's a transitional thing for me. Identity. Smith is... just, I mean, if we're talking nothing personal at all, to me personally, Smith was a horrible last name because I had my identity stolen like four times before I was like 30. But Bennett is just, I don't know. I'm more of a Bennett than I am a Smith. I always have been.
Love lesson three.
Oh God, this is so hard. You're putting me on the spot. Love lesson three.
You could hit the ball back and then I'll hit it back to you.
Okay, why don't you do one while I think about my third one? So what's your number one? Or not just, it doesn't have to be like in order, but what's one for you?
Love lesson one would be, and actually I learned this one through our relationship, to swim past. Oh, actually, love lesson one would be the, what I talk about, finding beauty in the contrast. So there's a lot of contrast between Vanessa and I. We're very different. And also, we're also the same in many ways, too. We both have horns in our stars signs. And in the beginning, because I wasn't used to the differences, it made me judge the relationship, made me not want to give it a chance. It made me want to run, which also then triggered her. So for me, trying to find beauty in the differences, right? Instead of judging it, that it's okay that people are different. And that doesn't mean that something can't work.
Yeah. I mean, I think what's interesting is that before you, I had two serious long-term relationships, right? You're my third. And you are the only one that I did not know from the jump, that you were were super into me. Like, you were the only, I think you're the only one I've ever dealt with ambivalence with. So it's interesting because I had a knowing, I knew there was something about you, that we were kind of meant to be together for whatever that looked like, however that long it looked like. So I don't know if there was something in that knowing that just made me stick around longer than I would have previously. But yeah, you're the only person I've ever actually dealt with that. So I actually dealt with it instead of being like, fuck off, I'm over it.
Yeah, so if she didn't have this knowing, and you know what, maybe depending on what you believe in, maybe that knowing had to do with us having a child together. Maybe that knowing was I'm supposed to have a kid with him, and you know. But what if you didn't have that knowing, what you're saying is you wouldn't have stuck around.
Right. I think probably after the second time I had that shaky feeling, I would have just been like, this isn't worth it, and I probably would have left.
I wonder if you leaving would have been hot to me and then I would have chased you, because that's how people are.
Well, to be fair, if you want to go there, me giving you, I didn't give you an ultimatum, but I did tell you I don't want to do this anymore. I need a week where I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to see you. I think we should be just totally separated for this entire week. I need to think. And you respected that. And then a few days, almost a week in, I remember I either called you or I think I probably texted you and I said, can you talk? Do you want to talk tonight? And your response back to me very quickly was, is this a breakup conversation? And you came over that night and you said, I thought I was coming over here tonight for you to break up with me. And I do actually believe that there was something in my difference in that moment was I really was done. And I had I didn't want to do the back and forth anymore, or not really back and forth, but just the ambivalence. And it was in that moment that you actually kind of stopped doing that. I mean, it's come up in other ways, but in the massive ways that it was in the beginning of our relationship. So there was something, I think, in my shit or get off the pot.
In the week that you were contemplating my relationship or your relationship with me, I was desperately searching for someone else and I found no one. That's not true.
I'm not even going to respond to that.
So that's my number one lesson is that you can find beauty in differences. So now when I notice our differences, I try not to judge them. I try to appreciate them. And, it could be anything from, books she likes, movies.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
To banter, humor, her perspective on something, anything where you feel like, oh, this is different, I'm not used to this. Now I try to hold it with two hands instead of trying to throw it into the trash can. Love lesson two for me would be this idea of swimming past the breakers. I used to think that love meant you have to feel the lightning in the bottle. And many of us felt that more so in our younger years, our teens, our 20s. And I think as we get older, we feel less of that, or it's different. What do you think?
Yeah, I think for a lot of us, we've had our heart broken by the time we've gotten older. And so that initial, at least in the experience I've had personally, but also working with clients, that like, holy shit, lightning strikes moment for a lot of people has ended in heartbreak. Not for everybody, but a lot. And so there's almost fear now associated with that feeling.
Yeah, and I have this theory that lightning is actually dysfunction. I think that the pool, it's not surface related. I mean, yes, you could find someone attractive. I mean, that's just, that's real. But the kind of attraction where you lose yourself in someone, the kind of attraction where you just completely just, disintegrate, and you can't stop thinking about this person, and you never want to leave the room with this person, like that kind of crazy sticky love, which I haven't experienced since probably 20s. I think that a lot of people mistake that, including myself, mistake that for love. And if that's what you're looking for, chances are it's not love, it's dysfunction, and you're going to get into a relationship that is very rocky and chaotic. And all of that might have worked for you in your 20s, but now that you're older, you're probably going to hate it. You're probably going to it's going to repel you.
Well, I don't know if I hate it. I mean, I actually think there's a lot of people out there that are addicted to that kind of drama. There's a feeling in us that if it doesn't feel that way, if it doesn't feel chaotic, then that in itself means it's not love. So I think once you've done a little bit more of the self-exploration, maybe you'll learn to hate it.
Well, so for you, it was your probably college boyfriend.
Yeah.
That you felt this crazy, for me, it was when I was married. Mm-hmm. Right. And I was in my 20s. You were also in your 20s, right?
Yeah.
Now, have you felt anything since then, or has it been more of like a slow burn attraction, but a different type of attraction, or what have you felt since then that it's been different?
I have obviously been in love since then, but the loves, yeah, to your point, have been very different. My ex-fiance, the love that I felt for him was in this more of like, as dysfunctional as our relationship was, there was a lot of good too, but the love that I felt with him was this very interesting feeling of safety in knowing that he would never leave. So for me, I think I confused loyalty with lasting love, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And safety is probably not the right word, because it was an unsafe relationship in a lot of ways emotionally. Like I didn't feel safe enough to speak my mind. There was a lot of tumultuous energy between us, blah, blah, blah. But I think it's loyalty. I think I mistook loyalty for that. And then I think with you, it was a slow burn. I think there was I think it was a mutual respect thing. I think I was very... what's the word? Like I respected you. I valued your thoughts. I valued your opinion. We could speak the same language. We can nerd out on some of the same things when it comes to like the psychology stuff and just larger perspectives, soul perspectives, psyche perspectives, that I had never really had before. The first love was more of that, like, holy shit, I can't breathe because he's not in the same room with me. It physically hurts me.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. And with that love, enter jealousy, codependency, enmeshment, all of that stuff, right?
Right. And with that kind of love, enter, that person leaves and you feel like you're actually going to die. Like, you don't think you're going to survive that person not being in your life anymore, which is ridiculous because we can survive anybody not being in our life.
So here's the lesson. When we get older, we start chasing for that love because we remember what that felt like. And that's the love that we want until we realize that love is unhealthy.
Yep.
So I think a lot of people, by the way, we are home, but we're not stopping the podcast.
Your daughter comes outside screaming.
No, she won't. A lot of people, when they get older, chase the young love instead of choosing someone that they think is healthy for them, and then they end up repeating old patterns, and then they blame it on chemistry. And this is why my lesson about swimming past the breakers, I don't think love or building a relationship happens until it gets hard, right? Because in the beginning, it's easy. Like, discovering a new person is exciting, and, you know, new bodies and activities, all of that is easy. It's when you start to see differences and start to poke holes at the relationship, you know, when you realize that this isn't perfect, that's when I think love begins.
Yeah. And I mean, I also think that what's really important in what we're saying is, well, two things. One, I think they can both exist. I actually know like one or two people that have long lasting, healthy relationships where it started with that initial feeling of like, you know, sparks and electricity and all the things. So if you are somebody that's found that, then hallelujah, you know, that's great. But what I think it is also is I think it's important what kind of relationship it is that you want to have. I think that's actually what you need to ask yourself, because if you want a relationship where it's going to be built on sparks and passion, and probably a little bit of drama and chaos mixed in there, fair enough if that's what you want. But understand that like in 2, 3, 4 years, when naturally that starts to subside, and I'm not saying you can't have moments of that. I mean, I hope you would, right? But when that stuff naturally starts to subside, when like reality starts to be your relationship, are you going to be able to tolerate it? Like, are you going to always be thinking that like, oh no, now something's wrong with the relationship because we're not like ripping each other's clothes off the second we walk in the door? But I think it's about...
Which is something that was my more my belief in the beginning. And so because of that, and I think a lot of that also had to do with different love languages, because Vanessa's not love language isn't to... all of her love language, one of them is touch. It's not words of affirmation. You know, she's not going to whisper things in my ear and be like lovey-dovey in that way, because that's not how she's wired. She shows love in different ways.
Yeah.
So that's love lesson number two for me. So we each have one more. So what's number three for you?
Oh my God, this is so hard to like call everything down into like bullet points.
I could help you and I could give them a little story to buy you some time.
Okay.
So we're looking at bed frames because we have a really, we just, you know, moved in and we did a lot of stuff, but we haven't bought our bed frame yet. So we're sleeping on a bed that has, that's really high. So there's storage space on the bottom, but the bed frame is very slippery. It moves back and forth. And the other day I said, I said something, obviously, sexual, because I always do. Something about tying up Vanessa. And she said, okay, you could tie me up if you buy me a new bed frame.
No, what I said was, the bed frame we have now is just like a metal frame on the bottom. So I said, because we were holding off on getting a bed frame, we were trying to, you know, like, does it make sense financially, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, one of the reasons I should tell you that we should get a bed frame is that if we have a frame with posts, you can then tie me to it. There's something to tie me to. And you perked up and were like, oh, shit.
It seemed
manipulation.
Yeah, it seemed a little loaded that I could tie her up, but I would have to buy a $1,200 bed frame in order to do so. Have you been tied up like that with one limb on each post? Is that new for you? Would that be new for
like
you?
Like in a star?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a little... I don't know about that. No, that would be new for me.
Then when dramatic. You say, okay, if that's dramatic, well, why would you need the bed frame
Because you still need to tie something. You need to tie.
Oh, so just the arms. Just the arms. Or just the arms.
A starfish seems a little extreme.
See, not for me. To me, that's when you say tie someone up, I'm thinking like.
Okay, we're going into like serial killer.
It's okay. I'm buying you more. You shouldn't be thinking about this. You should be thinking about your number three.
So my love lesson number three is, I don't know. I think and look, there aren't just the only three that I have. But one of the third ones that I'm thinking is that if consistency is something that is very important to you, and I know I'm not the only one that feels this way. So consistency to me means safety. And safety to me is something that I need in order to open up and be vulnerable and communicate. You have to ask for what you need, communicate that specifically, and you need to be consistent too. So you need to show up consistently if you also hope to get consistency. Does that make sense? I feel like I'm not making sense in that one. I'm trying to articulate something that's in my mind right now that isn't a totally formulated thought.
I have no more stories to buy you time. And if I did, you were going to wave me off anyway. So you have to continue.
I don't know. I'm talking it out. Maybe somebody out there will make sense of what I'm saying. But there's something in this idea of consistency for me that means love, that means safety, that means I'm able to open up. Which is interesting because I met somebody and fell for somebody who in the beginning didn't give me consistency, right? Give me ambivalence, which we've talked about. But
when you say somebody, you're talking about me.
Yeah.
I'm right here. Just say it was me.
So there's something in if you show up. No, I don't like where this is going. I don't think this is making sense. I think I'm stumped for my third one right now.
My third one is that I'm learning that love is formless, that love is shapeless, that love, and this is why it's so hard to love. It changes as you change and your partner changes. So, you know, in a way, like love is not definable. And so there's this constant adapting to love, redefining, dancing with love. Because the thing is that as humans, we're constantly evolving, growing, we're seeing things through different lenses. And so all of that impacts how we love each other. And so love isn't like, you know, this contractual thing and then it's dried cement and that's it, that's done. It's always like moving, it's always forming, it's always changing. And I think this is what makes relationships so hard, is that that the love is always changing. Yeah. And if you're someone who is not pedaling your own bike, meaning not working on yourself, if you are someone who is not evolving and growing or making effort to, then the other person probably is. And this is why a lot of people, quote unquote, outgrow each other. Mm-hmm. So love requires, I think, two people to be on their inner journey, expressing it, communicating it. And then it requires two people to constantly learn how to love each other.
Yeah, I think it's Esther Perel, right, that says in a marriage, you're going to be married to multiple people within the same marriage. And that has to be part of it, right? Like you have to be able to be okay with the fact that your partner is going to be multiple versions of themselves throughout your time with them and vice versa.
I think that you and I were meant to meet because we are kind of forced to challenge each other.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of that I believe in for sure. So my third, so here's three, not like my top three, but just three. One that's coming up is having needs and being needy are not the same thing.
Explain.
So in previous relationships in my old world, whatever, before I kind of did a lot of this inner work, I truly believed that having needs made me needy. So I was super independent. I was like the cool girlfriend. I didn't really need anything. I used to always talk about how low maintenance I was. But really what I realized is that was just me doing anything I could to keep the peace, to keep that person happy, and at the expense of myself being human and showing up in my fully my full humanness. And being a human means you have needs of another person that you're in a relationship with. And so if you hope to have any kind of real, vulnerable, authentic relationship, you've got to be able to get in touch with what those needs are and then be able to communicate them to that person. Otherwise, you're always just, it's surface. It's never going to be deeper.
There you go, guys. Three love lessons. And of course, you know, we have more and we're going to have more as we learn and grow and learn about love and ourselves. But there are three. And hopefully you have many yourself. I think it's good to ponder what your love lessons are as you either continue to build something with someone or find someone who you want to invest in.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting to think back and like, what have you learned on this journey? So like, what has each of these relationships actually taught you? And how have you kind of grown more into the person that you want to be or hope to be, your kind of more fully actualized self? Because I think that it's in that struggle, you know, in the struggle of failed relationships, we get closer to, in the struggle of our life, period, but in the struggle of our failed relationships, we get closer to our kind of highest self. And so what have they taught you? What are the lessons that have come out of those?
Yeah. Well, guys, thank you for listening. And if you have found any of this dialogue or any of our episodes helpful, we ask that you pass it along to a friend and follow us on what, iTunes, where all the places where you could listen to this podcast.
All the places. Rate, review.
Rate, review. It just helps spread the message. Thank you for listening. Be well. Hey, before you go, if you want to engage with Vanessa or I live, we both teach in the TAT Lab. The TAT Lab is live virtual wellness classes, all using Zoom. These are not video courses. These are live groups and classes. A team of experts with lots of experience and also their own stories, teaching everything from healing trauma to Vanessa teaches codependency. We have attachment styles, relationship classes. I do something called Ask Angry, and that is basically a giant check-in. We've got book clubs. We've got meditations. Come check us out at TAT-Lab. That's TAT-Lab.com. And get a week for free and come say hi to me and Vanessa.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.